Okay, so if I'm sending out an email or I'm promoting myself and I have a fairly good list of people who regularly receive an email from me or regularly receive information from me, and they know that I provide a quality product, is their feeling of who I am and what I provide, is that part of branding as well?
Exactly. I mean, a brand should affect as much as possible all of the senses that you can touch. It's hard to get you folks to smell your brand, although you could argue that McDonald's, you can smell their brand, their hamburgers or their fries, but it's your brand should touch as many senses as possible. If it can be emotive, there's something that can be get a good response from your customer by the colors that you use. We know that there is a psychology to even colors that are used in branding. And the name that you use for your company, even the fonts, all those things, those qualitative things, affect human beings because we are not machines. We're human beings that relate to things aesthetically, and it affects our emotions and our feelings about your products and services.
So does a different font actually give a different feeling towards my company?
Maybe not in isolation, but in totality, mixed with the icon that you use, the font that you use, the colors, all those things can evoke a positive response. And that's why even smaller firms, we always use trained professional graphic artists to give them a quality product. They may not go through, 600 versions or concepts to get to that, but it'll be one that's done properly, that has that quality to it that really they can be proud of putting out there. Some of the discussions I've had with clients in recent years have been fascinating along this qualitative site, and that's colors. Some of them like oranges, or they may like, if they're in financial services, they may think that red's a cool color because it stands out.
Yeah.
Well, psychologically and subtly, as you know, red is not always good in financial services. It represents red ink and losses.
Right.
So when you give thought to even the colors you use, what resonates well, what communicates stability and integrity? Well, that's the color blue for years has been recognized in the banking industry as one of those colors that communicates that trust. And that's why folks, when they go to interview with bankers, will wear a blue suit, because that blue has that gravitas, that believe me character about it. So there are folks that are psychologists and that study this as sociologists that can be more authoritative on that. But it's something that's kind of interesting when you look even at a small business. By giving it a little attention, you can have a big impact and set a good foundation for your business in the future. You'll never have, chances are, a multi-million-dollar brand to invest in, but if you're consistent, your customers through the years will recognize you and keep coming back to you for that image that you have put out there.
So is it going to be expensive then? If I started right now and said I'm going to start a branding campaign, what kind of costs would I be looking for?
It's up to the individual. How small is small? It's like how big is a bread box,
Yeah.
Is it as small as a toaster? Is it big as a Volkswagen?
Okay.
It's up to the individual business and what you think. And brands can evolve. There are some folks that start small and their budgets are small, but at least they've given some thought to it and have tried to have a rationale or a strategy for their business image. And as they get more money and grow, they may want to take and evolve that brand and invest in some strategic work on their branding and positioning. So, I mean, I've seen folks spend anywhere from, nothing by trying to do it themselves to folks that will spend, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for a medium-sized business just to get right. Because once it's done, it's not a recurring expense. It's a one-time investment that you make that you then use for years and years to come.
Okay. So what's the fastest way for me to do that then, to actually start branding my company?
go back to your business plan, go back to your the foundation of your business, and if you don't have a brand, take a look at those brands in your category that you like, brands that maybe you're not even in your category, but that you get good feelings about. Clearly, you can't rip off someone else's brand. There are little things called trademark laws and copyright laws that would be a challenge for you, but there are ways to find icons that you like. If you could find a designer to work with to help develop that, if you're on a tight budget, you can develop that brand. You will have to probably take the lead in the positioning line that you use for your company or your company name. It's something you're going to have to come up with. There are also legal issues when you do this. If you are incorporated, and I know that folks that are online that may have small businesses do not always incorporate, but there are liability issues that make it worthwhile. When you're going through the incorporation process, that's also a good time to have the name checked with the local Secretary of State in your state to be sure it's available to use.
Okay. Then what do we put, as far as putting together a formula, if we were to put together a formula for branding, is there kind of a something that I could follow to say, okay, first I need to look at specific icons that I like, I need to look at my font that I like, and just go along those steps, or is there a different formula that I should be using?
Well, one of the things that I'll offer, Terry, to those listening today, if they'll just, anyone's free to email me, and I have a small list, and I will send one to you that's a checklist for branding for small businesses. And if you just send that to lee2001@earthlink.net, I'll be glad to provide that to you free of charge. And it basically goes through the steps that we've talked in general. Doing your homework first, your online research, doing your own auditing of your business, going back to your business plan foundation, reminding yourself of why you're in business, and then developing from that a swipe file, if you will, of those brands or those even those company names that you like that you can use to develop your brand. You also take a look at what you're willing to invest to make this happen, what return you think you can get. If you're a very small business, I recommend not spending a great deal of time or money. Sometimes you can get the job done using your own resources or using the resources of a freelance graphic artist to help you achieve that.
Okay, so is, you mentioned a graphic artist quite a lot. Is branding really how people see your logo or your icon?
Again, that's only a part of it. The reason I used graphic artist is because not everyone is a skilled graphic artist. They can write. They can think through their business and do a lot of the thought work behind their brand, but most people are not trained graphic artists. So I use that as someone that can help them in their process of branding.
Okay. Now, in my marketing, I focus really on generating leads and sales. Is that part of branding?
Branding should be something to help you do that better, but it will never replace, again, the quality of your offer when you're trying to sell something. The way your copy is worded, the way your headlines are absolutely essential. Branding simply gives your work a DNA, an identity that sets you apart, so that when they receive that email or when they receive your information, it's evident to them it's from you, and it stands for and symbolizes your quality and your integrity as a business person. Online, it's probably becoming increasingly important because of fraud. Folks have been ripped off from shysters that use online schemes, and so a brand helps folks understand that you are the real deal, that you're a legitimate business. It doesn't, however, it's not going to improve your offer. That's a whole different skill set that I know you offer online resources in your program, Terry, that folks can access in copywriting and headlines, so you word offers that actually generate revenue.
Yeah. Would it be more important then if I only have 2 hours a day to work on my business. If I'm working it part-time, would it be more important for me then to focus on my sales and marketing or on my branding?
Again, what I said earlier about branding being a one-time investment, it's years ago, my dad was teaching me how to build. I'll never forget, we were building rafters for the roof of a garage, and I went through about 5 2x6s by not cutting the miter at the right angle. And he said, put the saw down. He said, now, how many times have I told you to measure twice and cut once? And that truly is sage advice in branding. It's really a one-time investment, typically, you take to measure twice what your business is about. Once that's settled, you shouldn't have to be spending time on branding, other than to ensure that it's consistently applied. All of your time should be on marketing and creating offers and selling things.
Okay, super. Can you give me some examples of effective branding campaigns that you've worked on?
Let me give you, let's see. There's one we did recently for a logistics or it's actually a company that works with Sears and national retailers. And it was a company that had a homemade brand. And what had happened in the last 4 or 5 years, they started growing rapidly. It's a client that I'm currently working with, in fact, right now. So it was a small business. It's become a medium-sized business, and I'm sure in the decade to come will become an even larger business. And they'd never taken the time to think about their branding, or had they thought about giving themselves a positioning line to set them apart from the competitors. And so we went through a process with the owners and with some of the key stakeholders of that company in identifying brand options, both online and in print, that they could use, as well as carry to their environmental media. And environmental media and retail, of course, are things like point of sale, signage, uniforms, things like that. And so that was a little more involved, but that was a case where branding helped them class up their image. It helped them with the curb appeal from consumers that would do business with them. On the other extreme, I've worked with international companies where they had brands, but they were growing other vertical service segments of their business, and they wanted to see should they create separate brands for these distinct service lines, or should they do brand extensions of the core brand.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. A brand extension, let's take the airlines, for example. When you fly Delta Airlines, you will fly on the regional service Delta Express. Well, they made a strategic decision way back that instead of using Atlanta Southeast Airlines, which is really the holding company that runs the planes, they would get all of their livery in the Delta logos and the Delta colors. And yet it would still be a business that's owned by ASA, but it's flown under the flag of Delta, and that would be a brand extension. Delta becomes Delta Express. They don't want to confuse it with the core brand, Delta, but Delta Express is an extension of that mother brand.
Okay.
In the case of United Airlines, here's a case where they've taken, instead of using United Express, they've come up with now a low-fare division called TED. It still links to United, but it's its own separate brand, even though folks know it's part of the United family. It's got the United DNA. Similarly, Delta, when they came up with a low-fare brand, they didn't want to confuse it with their core business, so they came up with Fly Song. Don't ask me where that name came from or how they arrived at that, but their strategy was a whole different look, a whole different livery that was not a brand extension of the Delta name.
Okay. So what's the benefit then to doing that way?
The benefit, if you're big enough to have brand awareness in a core brand, the benefit of a brand extension is to borrow from the currency, from the stature of an existing established brand, and leverage that by extending it into a new service line. the cost for starting another brand in the big leagues from scratch is very expensive to get that planted in the consumer mind because of the investment you have to make in buying the media to get that message both visually and auditorily out into the marketplace.
Okay, so there's quite a lot of work to do there.
Yep. So in the context of small business, like we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
most small businesses need not worry about brand extensions. When you're small enough and you're wanting to have, let's say, multiple streams of income and multiple sites, for example, there's no reason why you can't create totally different brands that speak specifically to the niche that you're trying to serve, because chances are you will have not made the investment in one mothership brand that is so valuable you want to leverage off of it.
Right, okay.
The only folks that get away from with that would be, you know, Amazon or eBay. eBay has done this, in one sense, through an acquisition of Half.com, where, you know, Half.com sells half-price books and tapes and so forth. And it carries now the eBay DNA, but it's clearly a separate site that they are leveraging on the eBay name, but it's half.com/an eBay company.
Right, okay, yep. So can you give me some examples, then, of branding campaigns that didn't work?
Well, I mean, the textbook case, of course, was Coke, when they came out with New Coke, which was a brand extension of the real Coke, but it also involved fiddling with the product. And I guess you could argue there's a case of brand extension gone awry. There are others that argue that it was a brilliant public relations maneuver to raise awareness of the product and in the end, still increase sales. On the online side, nothing jumps to mind at this stage, Terry, because I'm not that there's so much out there on the web right now with the companies coming and going. During the dot-com era, when there was tremendous growth, companies going public, I'm sure there was examples of branding that didn't work or branding that wasn't strategically aligned with the company's mission and services.
So is there really any difference between branding online and offline?
There shouldn't be. In other words, there should be congruity between the image that you see in bricks and mortar and what you see online. That congruity helps the consumer understand what you stand for. It carries the message to an online environment. Of course, there are technical differences in that you go from a world of CMYK to RGB when you're working in online and broadcast environments. Mm-hmm. But branding also online doesn't necessarily always have to be so prevalent. In fact, a lot of the major brands, it's almost like a seal, a very small endorsement seal so you know what site you're on, but they put their emphasis on the offers. And that exactly is what your website should do. Branding should almost be a DNA seal, a validation, if you will, but the real effort should go into your offer and what you're trying to sell.
Okay. So if I started a branding campaign today in conjunction with my offers and whatnot, like you said, in conjunction with my marketing, how long would I kind of expect to wait before I see some sort of improvement or some results on my bottom line if I was going to start branding today?
The only way to know that is by testing. I mean, to see how many offers you're getting today with your current marketing efforts without any type of distinctive logo type or brand, and then going back and measuring it. The way you've measured is by asking your current customers exactly a year later after you've introduced a brand, ask them about their feelings about that, what they've noticed. Take a look at your sales records, of course, but also go back to your customers and benchmark their perception of your company. And the reason it's important even for small business, I'll never forget, I had a professor back in the day at Northwestern that said, would you go to a doctor if he had a shingle with misspelled words stuck outside of his door, you know, versus going to a doctor where it's the standard bronze plate bolted to the side of a brick building that says, you know, Dr. So-and-so, MD.
Yeah.
And it just is a perception of you, if you're a real player, a real legitimate business versus a fly-by-night.
Right.
So, again, it's not always easy to correlate hard dollars like you would on a direct mail offer or an online offer to branding, but it is something that in the grand scheme of things does have a positive impact on the consumer that's buying what you have to offer.
So you mentioned then I would go back and talk to my clients or my customers and ask them questions about branding. What kind of questions would I ask them to get a good feel for whether I was branding successfully or not?
Again, there's so many variables there. It depends what you've been doing in the past. Let's assume you've had no branding in the past.
Mm-hmm.
One good way to start, of course, is you benchmark your sales from your existing customer base. But go back and ask them things that may not directly relate on the surface to branding, but that in fact do have an impact. For example, why did you buy from me originally? And sometimes these can be done with a phone call to very good customers where you have a relationship. But what was it that interested you and got you to buy from me? And you'll get things that range from it was an irresistible deal, or I felt that I could trust your site because you made guarantees in your offer, and so on. You can also ask image questions about your company. What was your image of us? And they may say, well, I viewed you as, you know, an honest group, sincere, operating a small company. Others may think you're a major corporation by how you portray yourself with your website or your online marketing. You then, if you actually have some concepts down, you may send them to some of your good customers and just say, I would like to brand my business. Here are some concepts that I'm considering. I just wanted to involve you and get your feedback and include them and listen to them and find out what these icons and combinations that you've come up with, what they represent in their minds and what kind of perceptions they would have of you if you were using that for your business.
Okay, super.
Now, again, as a small business, I would be cautious not spending a great deal of time and resources if you're just starting out on the branding effort. But as you continue to grow, it's something that will pay dividends long-term by raising the bar of your image with your consumers and in positioning yourself against competitors.
That's super. You've been extremely helpful, Lee. Do you have any additional helpful comments that you'd like to pass on?
You know, other than the fact that online marketing, because I think that's really a lot of the folks that will listen to this, although you'll have some bricks and mortar small business people, it's still all about the offer. It's about the copy. And if you're going to sell, a brand won't do the sales job for you. It's not designed for that. A brand is something that will give you a differentiator, a symbol to set you apart. It's up to you to deliver the quality product and service. It's up to you to write smart copy that motivates people to buy. Branding is just a part of that milieu that you use to be successful, whether it's online or offline in your small business. Folks that would like to learn more about this, again, you're welcome to visit CarillionUSA.com. I've mentioned my email address, lee2001@earthlink.net. I'm happy to share that branding resource for small businesses. You just have to put in the reference line or the subject line, small business branding, and I'll be glad to send that out to you.
And
those that are stateside that want to call are welcome to call me at 713-723-1629.
Excellent. And maybe a good idea to spell your website, too, since it's not a standard word.
Yeah. Even though Carillion rhymes with million, it's Carillion USA, CarillionUSA.com.
Excellent. Thanks very much for your time, Lee.
You bet, Terry.
You've been listening to Lee Schisler, the Managing Director of CarillionUSA.com, and myself, Terry Telford, from TheBusinessProfessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.